Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to what we still can call, fellas, the Three Down Nation podcast. I'm Justin Dunk, joined by John Hodge and JC Abbott. This is a pseudo emergency Three Down podcast because the league has just unveiled a number of key changes to the game. Credit the CFL for stirring up a whole bunch of discussion on an NFL Sunday in the fall in Canada, and perhaps, no, dare I say, the United States, and maybe a little bit across the world. We'll get into the exact details, fellas, as we get going here. But off the top, let's get some initial first blush reactions. John Hodge, start with you.
Well, I think the CFL should be commended for making a splash, right? This was well protected. This was well, I think there were probably some insiders who were muzzled on this, but that's part of any industry, including professional sports. There are lots of NFL insiders, NHL insiders, etc., who are muzzled on different things. It's clear that was the case here with some CFL insiders. But I thought the CFL, you know, I think some fans might be feeling taken advantage of, given that they were left to spin in a vortex of anxiety for the last 24 hours. But look, sometimes if you want to get headlines, you want to get attention, you want to get people talking about your product, you have to hold your fans in some suspense. And so to that end, I think the CFL deserves credit. There was buzz about these changes. I was hearing things about a shortened field potentially. We'll get into that, of course, on Sunday. But I thought this announcement was well done. And my first blush, we'll break down all the rules in a moment here, fellas. I'll take us through them. But my first blush is that these are generally positive changes for the Canadian Football League.
Well, I was certainly one of those who was swirling in the vortex of anxiety as a CFL traditionalist. And I must say, I am somewhat relieved by the changes that were announced. I don't love all of them. We'll get into that in a minute. But certainly, I think there's a lot of positive steps. And there's nothing wrong with rocking the boat and making some radical changes in order to try and improve your product. Now, I go back and forth on whether this announcement was done at the right time, because I do understand, you know, you're taking away attention from an NFL Sunday. That's a big deal. You're trying to give as much notice as possible. That's also a big deal. But I wonder if this was not something that could have been done a little bit more effectively in the off season, when there isn't news about the CFL to keep you in the cycle. I think that was potentially a missed opportunity here. I would have liked to see this announced in February or when we're in the thick of the doldrums of the CFL off season. But in terms of what was actually announced, I will color myself slightly relieved.
I would say the same, fellas. I think one of the core facets in the Canadian Football League and in our Canadian game is three downs. That's a main differentiator. Honestly, when I heard about these changes, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I can understand how the CFL hardcores might feel different and were worrying about what this announcement could be. But I thought a lot of it is smart. And the other part of this that hadn't been talked about too is the CFL can try this and amend it and change or go back. Like, I don't necessarily think that that's going to happen. But that was my first blush take on it, was like, these are major changes. I get it. But I'm like, it seems like it's backed up by data and well thought out. So, Hodge, I think you wanted to lay out the rule changes so if people haven't heard about them, they understand, and then we'll provide further context with our conversation.
Yeah, so these changes are going to be rolled out in a two-year timeline. The first changes are for 2026. The first change in 2026 is the modified Rouge, and this is directly from the CFL's press release. The Rouge will no longer include a single point for a missed field goal attempt that goes wide of the goalposts. A point will also not be awarded when a punt or kickoff sails through or rolls out the back or sides of an end zone without being touched by a returner. If a punt, field goal, or kickoff settles in the end zone and the returner fails to take it out or takes a knee, a single point will still be awarded. The change eliminates the possibility that games are decided by a missed field goal, punt, or kickoff through the end zone, which is something that we saw. The league feels that this will encourage more aggressive play calling on third downs, given the threat of the return game or the possibility of yielding favored field position on the ensuing drive. JC, we'll go to you first. Your thoughts on the new modified Rouge, the Nouge, if you will.
Yeah, the Nouge. I like that. I don't hate it, right? I am a traditionalist when it comes to the Rouge. I never had a problem with a point for a missed field goal. I always felt it was fundamentally misunderstood by its credits. It was a reward for field position, not a reward for failure. But ultimately, every time it came up, it was a black eye on the league. It did create negative discussion. And I think the league is smart to move away from it here while still including the Rouge as part of the game. At the end of the day, the intention of the rule when it was first conceived way back in the day was always to reward somebody being tackled in the end zone. I think that keeps the spirit of the rule here well, taking off some of the bad publicity the league gets on occasion. So I can happily accept this particular change.
I do like the Rouge idea because you're not giving a failure point, as some people would say, and that it's an active play in the football game. And, you know, Stuart Johnston told me exclusively in a one-on-one sit-down that you can hear on the exact same channel, however you're listening to this current podcast, that he hadn't considered the gambling angle to this. But I think it could potentially entice more action on the games because you have a little bit more of a predictable scoring. You still have the Rouge, but I think you have to earn it instead of kicking a potential game-winning field goal just straight out the back of the end zone for a Rouge, or perhaps lining up in a punt formation and kicking it out the side or the back of the end zone. That was something that was unique to our game, but there were people on both sides of the fence, and I can understand now how you're actually awarding that point for an active play and a play made, unless, of course, the returner is deciding to give up the single point for field position. So that's a decision in game management in and of itself. So in general, I like the change. I thought it was actually beneficial for the CFL when those types of field goals happen that would miss and then they would go viral, because usually any attention is good attention. But I think people, as much as the hardcores don't want to hear it, might look at the CFL in a little bit more of a professional way, and you avoid some of those jokes about the Rouge.
I like this change. I think that having a Rouge still in play, like completely getting rid of the one-point score, I think removes a quirk from the game that I do think adds value. But I also think that rewarding a single point for simply punting the ball through the end zone is something that probably doesn't make sense. This one point is now a deterrent to taking a knee in goal, right? Like that's what this is now. It's something that you're giving up to your opponent, not something that you're earning by hoofing the ball. And as kickers and punters can hoof the ball further and further and further all the time, as we've seen, I'm personally not someone who, it didn't bother me necessarily, but I'm not someone who is married to this rule, tied to this rule. So I think keeping it as something that has to be given up by the returner is smart. This is a nice happy medium. It's not no Rouge, but it's also not rewarding a missed kick, which, by the way, it still bothered me a little bit when people say, oh, you're rewarding a missed kick. No, you're rewarding kicking the ball through the back of the, and it's called the deadline, by the way. That's the line at the end of the end zone. That's what it's called. You're rewarding someone for kicking the ball through the deadline. Now, if we want to have a conversation about whether that's worth a point, that's a different conversation, but that's what the conversation is. So to me, this does not bother me. I like this change. We'll go on to the next one. Dunk, we'll get you to go first on this one. Opposite field team benches. All teams will be required to have their bench areas on opposite sides of the field, eliminating cases where some players are required to run 50 to 60 yards for substitutions. Some stadiums, I believe they're all in the East Division, currently feature benches on the same side, while BC others are, as well. On, are on opposite. Okay, BC is the same as well, same side. So how do you feel about this change?
It's just one that makes sense. I think everybody can agree with this. You know, some of the... positive aspects, I guess, about this is you might not have benches chirping like we saw between the Toronto Argonauts and Edmonton Elks. But I love that Ryan Dinwiddie situation. Anybody who listens to the podcast knows, or altercation, whatever you want to call it. But like, this one's easy. That's a tap in. Makes a lot of sense. Evens the playing field.
Yeah, to me, this is the best rule change of the bunch. And it's the one that there is should be zero qualms with, no concerns. There's no counterpoint here. By putting the benches on the opposite side, not only are you improving the logistics of game flow, you're also potentially eliminating some eyesores. Yes, you'll miss some of the chirping like the Ryan Dinwiddie's, but you'll also avoid a bench-clearing brawl like we saw between BC and Montreal earlier in the season. Those, I think, are black eyes on the league. This is a long overdue change to put the benches on opposite sides.
Yeah, to me, this is an absolute no-brainer. It is good for player safety. It is good for having players run less. I am a huge proponent of running less in my personal life. So I'm great with that. And I don't think anybody can reasonably be against this change. Like, there's no good argument in favor of keeping it the same. So check mark for me. Let's go to the 35-second play clock, fellas. And I want to go to this one first because there's some context here. According to the CFL press release, to improve game flow and consistency, a new 35-second play clock will automatically begin as soon as the previous play is whistled dead. Currently, a 20-second play clock does not start until manually initiated by the official. The change eliminates inconsistencies in timing caused by teams getting set at their own pace, varying times taken to set yardage markers, and more. The revised play clock also instills a sense of urgency in players to progress the game and continue the drive in a timely fashion. Now, the thing I didn't like about this, and I do like the consistency aspect, I have advocated for this in the past. The thing I don't like is the idea that, oh, you get a first down, there's a minute and 8 seconds left in the game. Now we have an NFL-style finish where you run 35 seconds off the clock, take another knee, run another 35 seconds on the clock, the game is over. Well, according to TSN producer Chris Edwards, he tweeted that this will not happen. He says the game clock still only starts once the play is blown in. Teams slash officials still need to get set, so it's not as if you can run 35 seconds off the clock each play. The new 35-second play clock merely provides a consistent time in between plays. Right now, it's wildly inconsistent. So to me, this is something I thought the CFL could have messaged more effectively at the press conference. Okay, there's a 35-second clock. I'm open to that. I think having more consistency, having more urgency, right? Less time between plays, I think, is a good thing. Everybody likes fast. Everybody likes exciting. But I could have used more details on this. So it sounds like we're going to need to do our jobs as reporters and talk to the league about this and get this figured out. We'll go to JC next.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, Hodge. I had the same concerns, and those clarifications alleviated them to a certain extent. I still think that you're going to see a little bit more time run off the clock in these scenarios, because I can't imagine it's going to consistently take the referees 15 seconds to spot the ball every single time in a 3-minute drill scenario. So that is a little bit concerning, but again, you're talking about 5 seconds here, 5 seconds there, not the end of the world. And I think it's going to do wonders for the consistency of game flow for the rest of the game outside of those final 3 minutes of the halves, because that has been sort of a quiet problem in the league for a long time with some of the inconsistency and how long it's been taking for referees to spot the ball. My question here is, why 35 seconds? I'm not arguing against it per se, but I'd like to see what the league's logic is, because we all know the NFL has this same rule. They go 40 seconds. Why 35? Was it simply you just wanted to be 5 seconds faster than the NFL? Is it because you found that on average the referees were taking 15 seconds to spot the ball, and so this gives you the same 20-second play clock as before? Show me your data, because on first blush, 35 seems a little bit long to me if you really want to speed up the pace of play. And if it's not, I'd like to see what those metrics are that made you choose this exact number, because it appears fairly arbitrary at this point.
I'll try to answer your question, JC, because I was talking to Stuart Johnston about this directly, and he said he would literally be watching games in the command center, and he would start his stopwatch, and there could be some times where it was 15, 20, 25 seconds before the 20-second play clock was even blown in. So this is one where, you know, as we talk about it now, I start to think, okay, perhaps there could be some modifications here. Perhaps it could be delivered in a more direct way as to what's going to happen. So I think that's how they got to the 35 number. They said, okay, this is on average the time range that it's been taking us to actually spot the football, between 15 and 20 seconds, you know, sometimes more. To your point, JC, the sort of hidden problem. So let's try out 35 from exactly when the play's dead and see how that works for everybody. I do wonder, you know, coaches are going to try to use every nook and cranny of the rule book. So if this could lead to the last 3 minutes looking differently, which is why we'll have to dive into the details. But I think there is data behind not just this decision with the 35-second play clock, if you will, but behind all these decisions.
Yeah, and to be fair, I'm not saying there isn't data. I would just like to see it. Like, if you have that number on how long on average it's taking to spot the ball, I'd like to see that shared, because I think that's important justification for the rule, and maybe something we'll have to tweak along the way. But it's something that we've talked about both on the podcast before and in our Three Down Nation group chat, just how long it's taken, something that had to be addressed. I just want to make sure it's addressed in the right way and that all the data is backing it up.
Let's go to the 2027 changes, fellas. These are coming in for the 2027 season. So that's like, what? I'm not doing math well off the top of my head. 19 months from now, 20 months from now, I guess we'll wait and see. First one is that the goalposts are being moved to the back of the end zones. The CFL says this is to allow offenses to target the middle of the end zone and to make settling for field goals less attractive. Goalposts will be moved to the back of the end zones. The shift removes an obstruction that impacts the middle third of the end zone, helping to drive more of football's most exciting play, touchdowns. The change also benefits teams pinned deep in their own territory, allowing offenses previously limited by the goalposts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
To expand their playbooks, as well as enabling punters to more freely from their own end zone punt without interference. The league also says that moving the goalpost removes an obstruction in the field of play, heightening player safety while offering more direct sight lines to big plays in the end zone for fans in stadium and are on broadcast. And speaking of that data, we don't know how the league came by this data, but they believe this will result in 10% more end zone completions and 60 more touchdowns per season. That's almost a touchdown a game. To me, that's the league saying, yeah, almost every game, we're going to turn a field goal into a touchdown with this rule. I'm skeptical about that, but we'll start with Justin. What do you think of this change, moving the goalpost to the deadline.
All right, everybody, get ready to drink, because as a former Canadian university quarterback, I love this idea, because for, you know, every time I can remember calling a play where we're like, okay, we can kind of use the goalpost as a pick, there's like a thousand other times where you're thinking in your mind, like, hey, I got to throw through this thing, around this thing, beside this big impediment. And I think that this could actually lead to more scoring plays and more entertaining scoring plays, which is what the league is after. So the data that the league collected, and I have it here, started at the start of the 2025 CFL season and went through Labor Day. So if you look at this data, between 0 to 10 yards deep in the end zone, on the left-hand side of the field, 23 of 46 passes were completed for touchdowns. That's 50%. On the right-hand side of the field, almost the exact same numbers, 27 of 45. But in the middle, from 0 to 10 yards deep in the end zone, it was 6 of 19. So less than half the amount of passes that were attempted to the left or to the right even get attempted in that middle part, 0 to 10 yards inside the end zone. And the completion rate is well less than 50%. Then you go a little bit deeper, 10 to 15 yards in the end zone in the middle. 3 of 10 passes were completed, whereas on the outside on the left, it was over 50%, 8 of 13. Outside on the right, 10 to 15 yards deep in the end zone, 5 of 12. So when you get to the back of the end zone, 15 to 20, it kind of evens out there. It's a little bit different, but you're still worried about hitting the goalpost. And then from a player safety perspective, like, to me, this just makes sense. You know, we have some people talk about, well, it's pretty rare for somebody to run into the goalpost. But let me tell you, be a receiver or a DB covering a route that is coming near that goalpost and then come talk to me. I'm not saying that you have to have played the game to have an opinion, but this is definitely a player safety feature. And I think this is one of the main reasons why the league believes they can convert a field goal into a touchdown, at least one, as Hodge alluded to, every single game. So I think it makes sense to at least give this a shot. And for me, fellas, I think this could lead to less backup quarterbacks, potentially, depending on the offensive coordinators and how they attack, leading the league in rushing touchdowns. Like, we'd like to see the days of old where quarterbacks are throwing for 40, 50 touchdowns in a season again. And I think with the uprights out of the way, that could open up the offensive playbook.
Yeah, this is another rule that I feel positive about, right? I think there is far more good things than bad that come with moving the goalposts to the back of the end zone. Yes, it's going to make the CFL look different visually, but I think opening up that middle portion of the end zone, which if you look at the data that the CFL shared, is just an absolute dead zone right now, will be beneficial for the league as a whole. Now, do I think they're a little bit optimistic with their touchdown numbers right now? Yes, I'd be shocked if it truly does add 60 touchdowns. And I also think they may be overstating it a little bit when they say that it's going to make field goals less attractive, because with some of the other changes that we are going to talk about in a second, I think field goals are still going to be very attainable. And while you won't be able to do a 10-yard chip shot anymore, I really don't think attempting a 22 or 25-yard field goal is going to discourage anyone from attempting a kick in this day and age. I don't think it makes you that much more aggressive. Now, the flip side that does need to be discussed is this essentially kills the missed field goal return, right? It's not impossible if a kick comes up short, but if anyone is at least getting the distance, if it's wide right, wide left, whatever it may be, you are no longer going to get those exciting return plays. I think that's a reasonable trade-off if it's really going to add as many offensive touchdowns as they say it is, because how many missed field goal return touchdowns are we really getting in a year? 3, 4, maybe 5? Those are probably among the top 20 most exciting plays of the season, but they are a minute amount of plays. So I think that's a reasonable trade-off. I'll be sad to see those plays go, but I will be happy to see a whole new portion of the field opened up to opportunities.
I also imagine that the CFL, knowing these announcements were coming out, were very upset to see Trey Vavil have two amazing CFL returns this weekend, going, no, stop. That's too exciting. Please stop. No, we're killing this thing. Don't make it good. So I'd imagine those reactions were happening behind closed doors on Saturday. I agree that missed field goal returns are super exciting, right? Obviously not on a 35-yard field goal because those are going out the back of the end zone anyway. But on those 55-yard field goals that get missed, even the 45s down to maybe the 40, right? Those are tremendously exciting plays. And, I mean, Trey Vavil went for 128 yards. I guess unless something changes by 2027, that record will stand forever. It's not the longest ever, but it's one of the longest ever. And soon it will be literally impossible to get more than 115-yard missed field goal returns. We do see missed field goal returns in the NFL where the goalposts have been at the deadline for almost all, you know, or certainly in the lifetime of anybody listening to this show, right? Nobody, I don't think, remembers the NFL having the uprights in the middle of the end zone or the middle of the goal line. But I do think that the trade-off here is worth it. Like the first time an offense is at the 15-yard line and the quarterback throws a 25-yard post and the receiver can actually run it, knowing that they're not about to get clobbered by an inanimate object and the quarterback can throw it knowing that they're not going to doink the ball off of the post, I think that's going to be a great thing. So there is give and take with this one. I don't love the change, but I certainly don't hate the change. We should also hopefully still get lots of good returns. Remember, there's a lot of chatter about, oh, they're going to adopt the NFL kickoff, the XFL. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. So we still are going to get all the punt returns, all the kickoff returns, the missed field goal returns, which, yes, they're very exciting. I'm not denying that. I will miss a lot of them. But we are still getting good returns. Special teams is still going to be a big part of the game.
The Saskatchewan Roughriders have to be the happiest fan base about this rule, right? Because it
2019
means,
West Final?
Well, not just that, but if this had existed back in the day, no 13th man game. Right? They're not sending somebody back there as the deep returner, probably.
They maybe still would have 13 guys of line of scrimmage, but I see what you're saying. And that upright will always be the MVP for Winnipeg of that 2019 West Final. Let's go to the last one, guys. We'll get Justin to go off the top on this one. And this ties in a little bit with the goal line rule, or I should say the upright rule going back to the deadline. As of 2027, the CFL will have a 100-yard field with 15-yard end zones. Currently, the field is 110 yards long with 20-yard end zones. We're going to 100 plus 15. So the field is going from 150 in total to 130. How do you feel about this?
Death to the 55-yard line, which I think was one of those key touch points. Mm-hmm. In the Canadian Football League, and I can understand, you know, the hardcores and any CFL fan taking that in some type of way. Although, when you think about moving the goalpost to the back of the end zone, and really the whole goal with these changes is to have more touchdowns, less field goals, and higher entertainment value. Sorry for the little fire test that's going on back here, but we'll push through it. Then I think that it makes sense. It's going to feel weird to not have a 55-yard line because that was one of the differentiators on the field from a CFL field versus an NFL or NCAA field. But I think if you're going to put the goalposts or the uprights at the back of the end zone, that this makes some sense. But this is one of the ones that, you know, I do have a little bit of time to go through in terms of digesting to get used to it.
I think, Justin, you can mute yourself while JC talks. And at this point, I'll remind everybody the importance of fire safety. Please check your batteries and your smoke detectors. We want everybody to be at their safest, whether they are big fans of the Canadian Football League's 55-yard line or not.
Well, this may shock some people because I have framed myself as such a CFL traditionalist, but this is really the only rule change that I have a significant issue with here. And it doesn't have anything to do with the end zones. I think 15-yard end zones are fine. We already have some shortened or amended end zones in stadiums across the country. BMO Field is 18 yards, I believe. You know, Montreal has those crop corners to the end zone. That's not the end of the world. I'm fine with that particular change to bring consistency. But when you're a league that's trying to differentiate yourself and you have so few touch points. I think losing any one of them hurts your identity to a certain extent. In the 55-yard line and that 110-yard field, that was one for the CFL, right? That is a significant portion of CFL identity that you are erasing here. Now, I understand the logic behind the move. If you're going to move the goalposts, you don't want to make field goals unattainable because then you'll see scoring decrease instead of increase. So you shorten the field in order to make sure that you're still getting that same level of scoring. I understand it from a rational standpoint, but the 55-yard line is something that I would have clung onto dearly because, frankly, I don't think shortening the field is going to have much of an positive impact otherwise in any other way, right? Now, the one potential element here that I'm sure you'll get into, Hodge, is it does make the CFL more accessible to other venues in other countries, right? They won't have the same problem of fitting that extra large field into their stadium, and you can potentially take this show on the road. But until I see real evidence that the CFL has a legitimate plan to do that and that the model works and functions on a number of different levels, I would have held off on making this particular change.
I like this change to the end zones. I think getting uniformity across the league is good. It's ridiculous that Toronto has a little bit of artificial turf near its grass. That's silly. I also think that having the clip corners in Montreal is silly. I think having something that fits makes sense. And I think having potential party areas or beer gardens, you know, filling up some of the space. I know some people have said, well, this is ridiculous. Now the fans are further from the action. Well, the fans are the exact same distance from the field itself. Yes, touchdowns will no longer potentially be able to happen right at the back of that 20-yard end zone. But the fans are still just as close to the action for 99% of the game when it's not happening right at the back of the end zone. And I'm also sure players are going to continue to run through the end zone and celebrate with fans and jump up on stuff. So that to me is not a concern. I would have not liked 10-yard end zones. 10-yard end zones are not long enough to run real routes. I think that is something that hampers the NFL and the entertainment of four-down football. So the end zones I like. The 100 yards, admittedly, I don't like. I agree with JC. I like 110 yards. The CFL was pretty clear in its messaging. They're doing this just to get offenses 10 yards closer to scoring. And look, I appreciate they want touchdowns. I think everybody wants touchdowns. People would much rather sit through a game that's 42-35 instead of 18-15, right? If you can give me six touchdowns versus five instead of six field goals versus five, I think everybody likes that. But I do like the 110, and I do suspect, JC, that you're bang on. There are lots of international soccer venues. There are four-down football venues that simply cannot accommodate a 110-yard field, even with 15-yard end zones. And if the CFL in the future, I'm not saying this is going to happen in the next couple of years, but if their goal is to potentially play preseason games internationally and try to take advantage of that market, or dare I say, even put an expansion franchise in the United States at some point, that was a major concern. How do you fit the CFL's field? Well, by going to a 100-yard field with two 15-yard end zones, it would not surprise me if that's part of the conversation behind the scenes. I'm not reporting as a fact that it is. I'm going to get a chance to talk to Wade Miller, president of the Blue Bombers, about that later today. But right now, that is speculation on my end, some international angle. We know that football is becoming a more international game through flag football. Wouldn't surprise me if that was part of the motivation for the CFL to go from 110 to 100.
The one last element that I think we should discuss here in terms of some of those dimension changes is what impact it's going to have on the rest of the football infrastructure in Canada, because I think that's part of the reason why the CFL wanted to get ahead of this by a year and a half to get that news out there so everyone can prepare. But unless there are changes coming to U Sports and minor football levels, which I can't imagine there are, because there's a lot of venues that don't have CFL teams associated with them, and there are costs associated with changing the dimensions and where the goalposts are going to be placed, then there's going to be some logistical hurdles at places that host both a U Sports team and a CFL team, right? Places like Princess Auto Stadium, places like McMahon Stadium, places like Percival Molson Stadium. All of those venues also have a corresponding U-Sports team. And if you're having to change the dimensions, yes, you can put a fresh coat of paint, but the goalposts present a challenge when you're moving them from one spot to the other. There can sometimes be bad spots on the turf, like we saw when the NFL tried to play a preseason game in Winnipeg and was unable to do it on a full-length field because moving the goalposts created a safety hazard. The CFL and U Sports are going to have to figure out a way to deal with that consistently week to week in the venues that share teams.
I think Justin is locked in silence here as the testing continues in his apartment. So for Justin Doug, I'll have to say his side up for him. We thank you. He's always listening to the show. I will say my biggest fear in this was they were not going to change the downs. Don't get me wrong. I hate the idea of four downs. I thought there's a chance they're going to narrow the field. Thank goodness they did not do that. All narrowing the field does is make the passing windows tighter for quarterbacks, especially after a three completion game from Chris Streveler. We do not need quarterbacking to be harder in the Canadian Football League. If anything, we need easier. So thank goodness no change there. All in all, I think this is a very good conversation, mostly positive on our end, but we'd also love to hear from our listeners. So let us know in the comments, social media, all those things, like, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. For Justin Duncan, JC Abbott, I'm John Hodge. Thank you for joining us for the pseudo emergency podcast. We'll see you next week.
A real emergency based on the fire alarms.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.